I'd like for you to turn to two passages today. We're going to be looking at Leviticus chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. And then hold your place also in Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. And today I'd like for us to finish our focus of I Love My Church Weekend with the theme that we've been looking at for the past few weeks, and that is Desire the Fire. We've had a challenge from our elders to have a passion in 2019 for Jesus above everything else. And last week we heard about how important the church is, and that the church is not the building, it's not the activities, it's the people, it's a connection to each other, and that we have a mission to fulfill. And today I want us to sort of wrap this all together as we look at this subject of desire the fire. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come, and I would pray that just over the next few moments that you would light a fire in the hearts of Grace Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that those who may not know you here today, that it could be ignited for the first time, and the rest of us, Lord, that you would just fall afresh upon us. Lord, that we would have a focus and an intentionality and a passion to be able to serve Jesus above everything else in 2019. Lord, we do love you, and we love our church, and Lord, I just pray that we would love you above everything else. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak. But more importantly, Lord, that there would be repentance and obedience today for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christine and I went camping with a friend named Scott one time, and we went to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. It's a beautiful place, but it was in the spring, and it was really, really windy. In fact, it took about 2 hours to be able to get the tent finally set up, because every time we tried to open the thing, it tried to blow away. And we had a lot of fun, and it was a good time. And the next morning, it was time to eat. And Scott was the camping guy. As you know, I'm the hotel guy. So I just trusted him. And he brought one of those, you know, portable cookers, and he started to light the fire, and we started to cook the eggs. And about 30 minutes into it, we noticed the eggs weren't cooking. And it was so windy that the flame just kept on blowing out. He relighted, and it took 2 hours, and we still didn't have eggs. And he finally gave up. And the only thing I could desire in that moment, because I was so hungry, was that we could have fire. And you know, fire is important, because we all desire it sometimes in our lives. Maybe it's for cooking, maybe it's for heat, maybe it's for fun. Fire is powerful, fire is useful. But it also can be dangerous and destructive, so it has to be respected. Our elders have challenged us this year to desire the fire, to be the church. We've had a special weekend. Friday night, we came together and we called upon the name of the Lord and worshiped him on a Friday night and said, God, we consecrate ourselves that you would be the most important thing in our life. We came here last night and had great fellowship and a lot of laughter. And today we come to the moment where we make the decision, God, will we be a church that will desire the fire above anything else for 2019? And so I want us to look briefly this morning at the subject of fire and how it relates to our passion for the Lord. We see in this passage in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. And I want us to realize that we're not going to talk about physical fire, but today I want us to look at spiritual fire. And what does that represent in the Bible? You see, the hope is that we desire the fire. But what does that really mean? In Leviticus, we see Israel and the priests were to make sure that this fire was constantly lit because they were going to be bringing sacrifices. And that fire sort of represented God to the people of Israel. And as that fire was always going, it reminded them that God was always there. If you remember when Israel was passing through the wilderness, he was a cloud during the day, but at night he became what? A pillar of fire to be able to lead them. And the Bible tells us that God is a fire. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. It says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." And in Hebrews 12:29, it says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And as we see, fire can be a great blessing, or fire can be very destructive. And the same is true of God. God can be the greatest blessing in your life, or if you face him as judge, it's not going to end too great. And we see this imagery in the Bible. If we look at Isaiah chapter 6, we see a passage that's one of my favorite. Here's Isaiah, and he realizes his sin. And it says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar." This is the altar that is in heaven. And here's Isaiah. He's caught up in the vision. He realizes he's a sinner. He's got unclean lips and unclean hands. And here the angel comes, and he touches his mouth. It says in verse 7, and it said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." How many of you know that there is grace to be found at the altar of God? And you can have your sins forgiven. But notice what it says in Revelation chapter 8. It says, "Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar." Again, we're in heaven. And it says, "He was given much incense that we should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." And if you read the rest of Revelation, after that you will see the seven trumpets begin to blow and judgment comes upon the earth. And so from the altar you can find grace and forgiveness, and from the altar can also come judgment. And how many of you know that is what the cross is? The cross is the place to come and to receive the forgiveness of your sins. But it was also the place of judgment. It was where our sins were judged. Jesus died on the cross, and he paid the penalty of sin in full. And any who will come and receive that their sin has offended God, but there was one payment in Jesus Christ. And if you will receive Jesus as your payment for your sin, that he died for you and he rose again, then you can be assured that you have eternal life. But if you deny the cross, then realize that you will face the judgment of God. And so here we see, as the cross sort of represents again this fire, it's the place where either there will we experience judgment or we'll experience blessing depending upon whether we've placed our faith in God. Well, today I want us to look at the blessings, the benefits, if you will, that come from the fire. And I want us to look at a few of them, and we're going to look at them quickly. But the first one is what I call the calling fire that we see in the Bible. And this we see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Notice it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him," talking to Moses, "in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed." Have you ever needed direction in your life? Have you ever been there where you just didn't know where to go? You didn't know what to do. You didn't know what decision to make. You didn't know what the purpose of your life was. And God comes to Moses and says, as a fire, and says, "Listen, I have a plan for you." And friend, he has a plan for you and me too. Amen. And this is the comfort that we have, is that God has a calling for you and me. And because we live in the New Testament, this is important. Our calling is not as an individual only, but it's also a calling because we're connected here as the body of Grace Baptist Church. And so part of my purpose, part of my identity, is the fact that I belong to this body. I'm either a kidney, or I'm a lung, or I'm a little pinky finger, or I'm a knee. But I'm something, amen? And so when we come together and we understand our purpose and we work together, God does great things. God has a calling for us. But we also see the comfort fire in the Bible. Again, we look, and we can look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day, to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, and they might travel by day and by night." Now, when you're in the wilderness and it's dark, it's probably pretty scary. And it's cold. And I don't know about you, but I don't like dark and cold. And isn't it awesome that sometimes spiritually we feel like we're in a dark and cold place, and there's a remedy? It's God, and God comes in those times when there's that loneliness and despair. And he's the only one that can do it. He is the one who can bring peace and comfort to our soul. And this is why God comes and says, "Listen, I love you. My desire is to be that warm fire in that cold and dark night. To be that place where even though the surroundings around you are cold and dark, you are kept warm because you are with me. You have comfort." Then in the Bible, we also see what's called the protective fire. Fire of protection. We remember when in the wilderness, that as Israel was heading to the promised land, they get there to the Red Sea and they look back, and who do they see coming after them? Egypt. And God again comes down as the pillar, and he brings down, and it's at nighttime when they make the crossing, and so he becomes this fire that separates Israel from Egypt. And he makes sure that Israel will be able to accomplish their mission because he protects them from the enemies. We also remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're thrown into the fire. And there's one who's like the Son of Man who was in that fire with them. And it says that the people who threw them in the fire was so hot that they died. And yet there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're just in the fire hanging out. They're protected. Folks, that should give us great comfort. When we have God in our life, we have protection. And listen, that doesn't mean that you're not going to die one day. We're all going to die. Thank God for that. We want to die eventually because we want to be with Jesus. We want that new body. Believe me, you're going to want the new body. Okay? Because this one, you know, it gets old, it gets decrepit, it sort of grows, if you know what I mean. But listen, there's a great blessing in the fact that we can be confident that when we are serving God and we are doing His mission, when we're witnessing, when we're going on mission trips, when we're taking steps of faith, God says, listen, I am with you. I will protect you. He's the protective fire. We also see in the Bible the refiner's fire as a benefit to those who have God in their life. Notice what it says in Malachi chapter 3. But who can endure the day of His coming? The answer to that is no one. And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And He sits as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. He says in Zechariah 13:9, and I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. And I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. Oh, do you see that the fire purifies us? And it makes us holy. And we're separated. We shouldn't live like the world. We shouldn't be like the world. We shouldn't be distracted with the things of the world. We're different. We're being refined. That fire would take out the impurities of the gold and the silver, and they would remove them so that metal would become even more precious. And sometimes you're going through life and you're going through the heat and you're going through the pain and you're going through the trials. But I got good news for you. God's got a purpose in that to make you more like Jesus. And man, that should excite us. Is there anybody here who's stubborn like me and sometimes there's just that sin that keeps on coming back over and over and over again? And you're saying, how do I get rid of this? The fire that God brings, that refiner's fire, begins to bring conviction and it puts us in trials. It brings us to dependence upon Him. And over time, He begins to remove those impurities and He begins to make us holy, set apart. And that's who we're to be. If we're people who are going to desire the fire, that means that we're not going to look and judge ourselves whether we're like every other church in America. Because, folks, that's not really a great example. The example is, are we going to be a biblical church? Church that God desires us to be. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, talking about I have been saved, I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. The day that these authors were writing about in the prophets, the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes, one day, your life is going to be before Him, and you're going to give an account for what you have done with your life. And notice, he says, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work and what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Oh, folks, I can't imagine. That's got to be the greatest joy in the whole universe, that God would actually reward one of His creation for being faithful. Think of the highest compliment anybody's given you. Some of us are living for approval. Oh, that my dad would approve of me. Oh, that my boss would approve of me. Oh, that I would get this award. Oh, let me tell you, that's nothing compared to the fact that if God came up to you and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. There's nothing greater. And he says, listen, as a believer, you have the ability to be able to go and serve and bring gold and silver and things that will endure the fire. But notice in verse 15, he warns, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Notice that God here reveals, he's not talking that we are saved by our works, amen? If you choose to be a type of church person that all you do is sit in a pew and you don't participate, then that's okay. You're still going to heaven because you're saved by grace. You're not saved by your works. But I'm going to tell you, when you stand there and you see what could have been, when you see what you could have offered, when you see what God blessed you with, and you didn't do anything with it, you're going to feel ashamed. You're going to feel a sense of loss. You're going to feel the pain of letting down the one who died for you. And folks, I can't express enough. We can't be that church here at Grace Baptist Church. We're not going to be a church that one day comes together and God brings us together and says, okay, I'm going to examine the works that you have done, and I don't want to be there and just watch it all burn up. I want to be there and there's gold and there's silver and there's something beautiful. And he looks at Grace Baptist and says, well done, my good and faithful servants. That's our desire. That when the fire comes and our works are tested, that we please the Lord. We see the presence fire in the Bible. God's presence is represented. Notice in Leviticus chapter 9, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, it says, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Folks, everybody has these seminars. What can we do to reach more people as a church in America? I think I've got a great idea. How about we get a church that's sold out for Jesus? And they say, you know what? We're serious about praying together. We're serious about studying God's word together. We're serious about worshiping. And it's not just on Sunday morning, but it's all through the week. I have my own time of worship, my own time of prayer, my own time of Bible study. I'm just on fire for Jesus. And wouldn't it be awesome just that the glory of the Lord filled this place? I believe that it would just attract lost men and lost women to be able to come and to experience what was taking place. And the love that we will have for one another, the Bible says, will attract others. We need to be a people who desire the presence of the Lord. And this has to be the greatest desire in our life, that we would be in God's presence. We see in the Bible also what's known as the passion fire. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says, we see that when fire came, that there was boldness to preach God's word. That there was a hunger for the people that used to be timid, and now they spoke up. It says in Acts chapter 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. You remember Peter? In the night that Jesus was crucified, he denied him how many times? Three. I don't even know the guy. And now, when the Holy Spirit filled him with a passion, he goes and he preaches, and that day it says that 3,000 got saved. And you're like, what can we do to get people to share Jesus? I'll tell you, get on fire. If you're on fire for Jesus and you love Jesus, it's just going to outflow your life. When you're excited about something, you can't help but tell other people about it. The reason we're not sharing Jesus is, to be honest, we're really not that excited about him. He's really not the greatest love. I mean, there's people who will come and they'll talk about, hey, man, my sports team's doing great. Why do you talk about your sports team so much? Because you love it a lot. Man, my 401k, you ought to hear how great it's going. Why do you talk about that? Because you love it. You're excited about it. Man, I got these grandkids. Let me tell you, why do you talk about your family so much? Because you love it. I tell you, if we fall in love with Jesus, we won't be scared to tell other people. Let me tell you what has happened to me. My sins have been forgiven. I've got a hope of eternal life. God's still working in my life right now. Let me tell you how he provided for me just today. Let me tell you how his comfort is upon me. Let me tell you, there's nothing greater than Jesus. When we're on fire, we'll share. And finally, I want you to see, there's the endurance fire. Jeremiah had a hard ministry. He went and told people to repent over and over and over again, and he had zero successful results. And he just wanted to quit. Anybody ever been there? You try, and you try to get people to get involved. I know we don't have that problem at our church, amen. Right? I mean, if the pastor, let's just say if I came up here and said, hey, we got a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock and we need to all come, I know everybody would show up, amen? Let me try that again. I know if the pastor came up and said, hey, we got a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock and we could call upon the name of the Lord together, it's important for us to be able to do that, we would all show up, amen? We should. Hey, at 9:30 we can get together and study God's word together. We should do that. Amen? Amen? Amen, we should. There's times when pastors in other churches share that type of stuff and people don't show up. And it gets discouraging. Here's Jeremiah. I mean, he got no results. None. Nobody repented. Nobody followed. But notice what it says in Jeremiah chapter 20. It says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done. I'm tired of preaching. I'm just not going to do it. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Oh man, there's been times when I've wanted to just say, you know what? Let's just do church the easy way. Let's just be like the rest of the American church and let's just have a service and not focus on all the prayer and the Bible study and the ministry. It'd be so much easier. Amen. But you know what? There's a fire in here. There's a fire in here that says, listen, don't do the things the way of the world. You've got to do it the way that I have commanded. It's my church. It's not your church. It's not the culture's church. It's my church. And this is what I say is important. And this is what we are to be about. And as the people of God, We have to be obedient. And the way we get there is when we come and we accept Jesus and we desire the fire. And even when we're tired and even when we're weary, there's still a fire of endurance inside of us that says, you know what, I won't give up because I know it's worth it. Now, the Bible does say that it's possible to quench the Holy Spirit. And I think that's happened to all of our lives, if we're honest. Has everybody always been on fire for God at their fullest capacity? Nope. You ever get to that place where you're sort of tired and weary and burnt out? So how do we keep the fire going? I want us to look real quick at Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to look at three quick things, and then we're going to close. But I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 10, because we know that there's that altar that is there in heaven. And I want us to look at a passage that helps us to be there inside of the altar where the fire is. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Basically, those three verses say, listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have access to be in heaven right now, spiritually, by faith. You have access to be in the Holy of Holies. To be in communion with God. Isn't that awesome to think about? And he says, but this is how you maintain that. And he says, listen, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So how do we keep this fire going that's taking place in heaven? Well, the first thing I want you to see is he says in verse 22 to draw near. We have to come near the fire. We have to approach Jesus and make him the biggest priority in our life. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12. Not lagging in diligence, that means we're giving all our effort, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word fervent in the Greek is zo. It means to be boiling over. And it's this idea that the heat's so hot that we're just boiling over. Our desire, above anything else, is to draw near and to be in the presence of Jesus. Now, folks, I love the fact that Brad Stein was able to be here last night. How many of y'all enjoy that? Wasn't that awesome? But how many of you know we had a prayer meeting on Friday night? And the guest wasn't Brad Stein, it was Jesus Christ. And there were more people who were excited about Brad Stein than they were about Jesus. I got to tell you, folks, the church in Jesus Christ has got to be able to say, listen, we've got to draw near and we've got to want Jesus. And I know prayer is not always fun. Prayer is never easy. But folks, we've got to be able to do it. How do we draw near? Number one, we've got to worship. We've got to worship with everything. Worship privately with God. Worship publicly with God. Make him our greatest desire. Jesus didn't say, love me a little bit. Love me with most of what you have. He said, love me with what? All your heart, mind, and soul. And then we've got to be people of prayer. And in Acts, we're reminded that there was no power in the church until they came and they prayed. And it was through prayer that it brought them into unity. And they not only prayed in small groups, but they also prayed publicly as one. And folks, if we want revival, then we've just got to be obedient, amen. And if we're part of the body, then we all need to come together, amen. Now, you know, sometimes when a church gets on fire, it gets exciting. But let's be honest also, there's some that aren't on fire and it makes them feel uncomfortable. And I understand that. But you know what? I'd rather have a church that's on fire and make some uncomfortable than not to be a church on fire and just keep everybody lukewarm. And I'm so proud of our elders because our elders have said, we're going to be a church that's on fire. So I'm letting you know where they want to move and where they're leading and where we're going. We're going to be a church and they're desiring the fire and it's going to stretch us and it's going to challenge us. And if you don't come along with us, it's okay. We're still going to love you, but you're going to feel uncomfortable, amen. Because this is who we're going to be. We're going to be people who desire Jesus above anything else. Secondly, notice he says, I want you to hold fast in verse 23, that confession of hope. I want you to be able to believe and to hold true the faith. The Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. It's knowing and studying God's Word. That's why Bible study is so important. How well do you know the Bible? Some of you, I think, know it like extremely well. Because you don't even have a desire to come study the Bible with us at 9:30. But that's okay. We'll put you in to be a teacher, amen? And you can teach the rest of us if you know it's so great. But if we're a church, we're supposed to be about studying the Bible, amen? And so when we study the Bible together, and we learn about what our hope is in, it builds up the fire. And then third, notice he says, we need to consider one another. Notice, he says, and let us consider one another in verse 24, and stir up love and good works. Now, there's a lot of churches out there that stir up stuff. But they're not stirring up love and good works. They're stirring up divisiveness, commotion, complaining, griping, doubt. But God says if we will be a church that will stir up love, that we will stir up good works, that we will think about, hey, how can we minister even greater in our community? How can we love each other better in our church? How can we serve one another and care for one each another? And God says, you'll be a church that's on fire. And notice what he says in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now listen, we're going to fight an uphill battle here, folks. We just are. The culture says, listen, we don't have much time, so we just can't give it to church. And it's just not true. We have more time than we used to. It's just reality. There used to be a time we had to go out and cut all our wood and we had to go kill all the animals and do all that type of stuff. We have a lot more free time than we've ever had. And we've got to be able to say, listen, God says, listen, as you see the day approaching, that's the day that Jesus is going to come back. He says, listen, church, you need to be meeting more and more. That means you need to give more time to it. Now, I know the popular thing out there is, can we just go to church once a week for an hour? Because that's really convenient. Amen, it is, but you're not going to grow. We've got to be people who say, listen, I'm going to get connected to each other. As Brother Warren said, the church is not that we come to activities, it's that we're connected to one another as a body. Whether that's small group, whether that's Bible study, whether that's ministering together. And we're saying, listen, we're gonna start changing our life so that we can make it a priority. And as we do that, we're going to have greater and greater influence on our culture and in our city. The Bible gives a great warning. And it's our Savior, Jesus, who gives it in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. And to be honest, I think he's talking to the church in America. I think he's talking to the church in the last days. And I think we have to be careful that he might be talking about our church. Notice what he says. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, I got to be honest. I'm scared about where we are as a church right now. Because we're in a very blessed position. And it's real easy to look back and say we're rich. Financially, we can coast for a while. And we can just take it easy. But I want you to see when Jesus looks, he says, listen, you've got to remember you're always dependent upon me. I can remember when I started out as a church planner. And it was, if we don't go reach people and we don't see God work, in another year, this church is going to close its doors. And I tell you, the church prayed and prayed and prayed and gave and served because, man, there was a passion that if it didn't happen, it was going to close. And folks, we got to have that same passion. Even though we could coast, we've got to make the decision we're not going to, amen? That we're going to give 110 and 50 and 200% all the time because our Lord is worth it. Notice he says in verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with the eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was studying for this sermon, it sort of stepped on my toes a little bit. And some of you might be, Pastor, I feel like you're meddling today. That's okay. It's not coming from me. I'm not the one that said the church has to be hot. Because personally, I could probably settle. If y'all wanted to, I probably could settle for just lukewarm and we could just play. Except God's just put a fire in me and I can't live there. And there's people here that love the Lord so much, they're telling me, we can't live there. We want to see God do something. We don't want to waste this life. We want to see a movement of God, and we believe that it's coming. So God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent. Stop doing what you're doing. Don't do the same thing over and over. There's got to be changes for all of us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. We use that verse all the time for evangelism for a lost person, but he's not talking about lost people. He's talking to his church right here. And this is the great blessing. To him who overcomes, I will sit with him on my throne as I also overcome and sat down with my Father his throne. Folks, God wants to set us on fire. God wants to use us in a great way. The question today, are you willing to say, God, I'm willing to repent and be zealous for you? I'm excited to let you know that your elders are. And hold them accountable, amen? If you don't see an elder here at prayer meeting or 9 o'clock, get on them. I'm giving you permission to do that. All right? Get on them. Because they've made the commitment to be here. Because they're serious about what God's going to do. And I believe God's going to do some awesome things. When you look at a fire, it's a bunch of coals eventually and it burns out. But if you go to that fire and you blow on it, and you blow on those coals, eventually what will happen? The flame will come back up. But if the coal is separated from the rest of the coals, only the coals that are together will be the one on fire. The coal by itself will die out. Folks, I believe the Holy Spirit, we're asking the Spirit to just bring a fresh wind and to bring a fire. And I believe it's coming. And I don't want you to miss out on the blessing. Will you connect and be a part so that you can experience the blessing of God? Let's pray.